soon as Leigh gets home this week, I'll be able to get everyone's together. But today we're going to talk a little bit about something that maybe you don't think is an emotional problem. Maybe you don't think it's a problem in the area of counseling. But it really can be, and it is. Actually, it's probably one of the greatest problems that we have in the world today. And that's prejudice. I remember when I was in high school, the last year of high school, 1954. And it was the year that they had signed the petition or signed the law that no more were the separation in the schools of blacks and whites. We had to go to school together. And I remember I came up in the age when I can remember getting on the bus in Virginia. In Maryland, I got on the bus, and when I crossed the lines of Virginia, the black people got up and went in the back, and the white people were in the front. So I came up in a prejudice era, maybe toward the end of it, but it was a prejudice era. It wasn't as prejudiced, maybe we didn't have slaves or many times, most of the time, not servants, but just the attitude, for that's what prejudice is, just the attitude toward the others. And then I thought as I came, I remember so clearly coming into the study hall, and they were talking about the fact that next year the black kids were coming and were going to be in school with us. And I thought to myself, boy, am I glad I'm graduating. And suddenly from deep in my heart, the Lord spoke to me, because I felt God wanted me to be a missionary many, many years before even high school, when I was in junior high and so forth, younger than that in some ways. But the Lord spoke to me and said, how can I send you over to them if you are prejudiced against them? And oh, I thought, Lord, that's right, I can't. How can I go over there to preach the gospel and not really to love, you know, to have this prejudice in my heart? And right then and there, I told God I didn't want that. And God took that prejudice out of my heart. My whole life would have been different if he hadn't. My whole ministry would have been different if he hadn't. Because we have in our minds, maybe not as much today, but it's still pretty much today in many countries, whether it's your race or whether it's your creed or whether it's your status. I pray often for what we call those that untouchables or those that unreachable, sorry, not untouchable, unreachable people of the world. And there is lots of them in India. And I look at that and I think, here is one caste. They won't give water or food to another caste. They won't take it from another task. Well, I'll tell you, when I'm hungry and thirsty, I don't care what caste you are. But they just don't want, they won't touch that. And from one area to another, if you're a Brahm, or whether I think they call it Brahm or something, you're sort of the classy one, where you're sort of in the temple. You're more of a, so you don't touch a lot of the others. There is a lot of prejudice today, even here in our United States. A lot of people don't like the Jews. Do you know that? They are very, very disliked. I know right around here, my cousin, she lived in Boca Raton, and oh, she had a bad feeling toward the Jewish people. And I've seen that and heard it for so long. When the people from Italy came over, oh, the names that they called them. When different people came and migrated into the country, you know, our idea of Chinese, I don't know what your idea was of Americans, but our idea of Chinese was that they were people who had cleaners. Everybody we knew were cleaners years ago. Now it's more restaurants, you know, that type of thing. And in talking to the ladies in our ladies' group, some of them felt that there is feelings between the others and themselves as Chinese, that they have a certain feeling about the Chinese. So you see, prejudice is really in a family. In a family where there's a mixed marriage, there can be some real feelings of prejudice. So we have to really understand maybe a little bit about it and be able to help those that are prejudiced, or maybe you'll find out you are prejudiced. You just never crossed it. You know, when I grew up, we had our bomb. They would have their exercises that we were being bombed, and we would have to get under the desk, and we would watch our war films, and Japan was just, to an American, the Japanese were just like they were to you in China. And there was a lot of bad feelings in our heart about them. And I thought I had gotten well over that until I was on my way to Japan. I was going there for a meeting. And as I came into Japan, I cannot tell you the feeling I had. And I thought to myself, you mean I still have feelings about this? And I had to recognize that and pull myself up and try to show myself that these old things that so many times may be rooted in us is not what God wants in our life. You know, the word prejudice means to prejudge. And many times we prejudge, we have pre-opinions about people. If I were to ask you today, what's your opinions of the Latin? And so you might say, well, I have nothing against them. But the thing is, when we say we have nothing against them, it may mean we don't have anything for them, if you understand what I mean. Long as they stay over here and I stay over here, that's the way I like it. Same way about, you know, we can legislate that the black people are free. They can have their jobs and they can have, but there's many, many people in this country that wouldn't mix or don't want their children to marry. So you see, there are lots of times that we have prejudice. It may be that when your son is going with a young lady, the family of that young lady might not be what you want, and it doesn't have the expectations that you would like. And so what happens? You become prejudiced. You don't call it but that's what it is. You become prejudiced against that person. You prejudge people without recognizing them. And it can come in any way in our cultural thinking. Culture has done this a lot. My mother was really very prejudiced. But she did. She had black friends, but in the whole, she grew up in a very, very prejudiced time in her culture. And so you may have grown up when culturally it was almost an accepted thing that these people we don't have anything to do with. We don't really want to be involved with them. I don't know how you felt in China about those, we call them tribal people. You call them, what do you call them now? Not national. What do you call your tribal people? Or your, I'm sorry. No, I don't mean those. No, I mean those that live in China. Minority, that's what you call them. I don't know why it was so hard for me to remember that. But you call them minorities. We call them tribal people. They are very different from others. I don't know, because I'm not part of your society, I don't know how you felt as you were growing up about the minorities. But sometimes you could have prejudice against them because to you they are minority, less. And this is what happens in the area of prejudice. Some of the attitudes for prejudice, some of the symptoms for prejudice, for prejudice, is bigots. In other words, we have an intolerant attitude or actions directed toward anyone or anything different from your own opinion. So when a person has something different than your opinion, you may have an intolerant attitude against them. Whether it's because of their color or their race or their religion or whatever, you have an intolerant have an intolerance. I confess to you that this last years I have had, in this last year particularly, I have had to go to the Lord and ask him to help me not have prejudice against the Muslims. Really, I confess that to you. Because as an American, they're a threat to us now. As an American, we feel like their whole history was the fact of that when they went into a country, they said, either you become a Muslim or you're dead. This was their evangelism. And actually, so when we see it coming here, you don't mind it when it's, but all of a sudden when it's here on your doorstep and it's becoming much greater and getting a lot more legal type of advancement, I got to think, I really had to say, Lord, I'm afraid that I have prejudice against the Muslims, and I want you to help. Now, I and the Lord has helped me. You know, whenever we want help, he gives us help. And I thank the Lord for it. But you know, I want to keep myself to the place where I don't have any prejudgments, any intolerant attitudes toward others. This is strictly against God's principles. I think if there's anything in the New Testament that we have to get hold of and recognize is that he had no class system. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He doesn't have prejudice against anyone. And he tells us we are not to have that. We're not to always, and I think we're very grossly, we're wrong in this area. He says when the rich man comes in, you know, we fumble over him a lot. But the poor man, we say, just sit down here. That wasn't his either. Rich, poor, whatever it was, he wants us as his children to be able to issue out of us his love for everyone. So then we have to recognize, because you see, hatred begins to manifest in prejudice. This is why we are having so much trouble today. We know it's wicked hearts, but they wouldn't call themselves wicked. Right now in Nigeria, and I can't remember quite else if there's someone else, the Muslims are killing the Christians. Now, they feel like, to them, they hate Christians because their Quran says we must kill all of those that are infidels. Now, this stems from a religious prejudice. And there's been a lot of the wars that we've had, a lot of the things that have clashed is because of religion, religious prejudice. And so now we're seeing it not there, all over the world, where people have these prejudice against one another and hatred is beginning to manifest. Can you even imagine in your mind, like Bosnia and some of those places that had what they call cleansing. Thank you. I had said it before. Ethical cleansing. Can you imagine that here is a group in my country that I so have learned to hate because of the prejudice against them that we kill them all? So when we say, well, prejudice isn't a problem, prejudice is one of the greatest problems we have today. And it comes through the attitude that we have, and then it genders many times hatred in us. And because of that, it cannot be anything that's godly. And so we have to be careful. The characteristics of those people who are very prejudiced, and maybe even us, but they're really actually very rigid, extremely rigid. They're not flexible. They can't see. They see only black and white. They can see nothing else. They're very rigid people, fearful of change. I was looking on Facebook last night. Of course, I spent 10 years in Cayman Islands in the West Indies. And they were having marches in West Bay. That's where I lived for those 10 years. because they were going to change something on West Bay Road. And my curiosity, I wonder what in the world they're going to change. But I thought that many times we can't take change. And people who cannot take, that's what happened during the problems with the black and white. The white people, many of them couldn't stand change. You know, let me tell you, when I was in Baltimore, I lived through this. I lived through the marches. I lived in a city that was very black city. And I went to a black school. But I recognized that in this type of thing, it was change. They could, when you lived in a neighborhood, particularly we had a neighborhood called Forest Park, and it was where most of the Jewish people lived, wealthy ones. And in other neighborhoods too, some real estate man would come in and he would sell one of the houses to a black man, probably very reasonable. And as soon as the white people saw that, they were out of there. They couldn't stand the change. They couldn't stand thinking of someone being there next to us that's black. You see, this is the thing. Many times they can't stand change. They're self-righteous. We're better than them. I've been listening to the history of Thomas Jefferson, great man. A man who said all people are created equal. But he had 200 slaves. And they were saying, how could he live under this? And I was trying to think, how could he? But it seemed like it was a thorn in his flesh the whole time. But the fact was that they were self-righteous. He wrote on there that there is a difference, that black people are really lower than white people. They can't write poetry. They can't, and he went on to express all of these different things. And yet he says that all men were created equal. So, but you see, those self-righteous, they're closed-minded. People who are legalistic are closed-minded. And they become very prejudiced, and they must see and have it. It's an act of our attitude of our heart. That's what it is. It is basically from the heart. How do we show this? Sometimes through sarcasm. Today, you're not going to do what we did years ago. You're not going to keep people out of restaurants. You're not going to say to the Spanish people or the Latins people that you can't go to a restaurant. No, we don't do that anymore. But sometimes our attitude of sarcasm, jokes that we use, how we slur and ridicule directed at these people. So, you know, they call them Polish jokes. But it's actually jokes trying to bring down the Polish people. So these are the kind of things and the ways that we do it. Now, Jesus practiced what he preached. When it came to the leper, everyone was scared and prejudiced to the leper. They didn't want to go near him because they thought that they would catch it. They were afraid of it. But more than that, they took and stripped them of everything. And you weren't to go near them. And they were coming unclean, unclean. But Jesus went to them. Jesus also, the Jews hated the Gentiles. They wanted nothing to do with the Gentiles. And yet Jesus went to the centurion, who was the soldier, the head soldier, and healed his servant. We see the tax collector. Now, right within the Jewish society, if there was anybody they hated, it was the tax collector, because he was in cahoots with Rome, and he was working with them, so the prejudice built up against them. And so we see, though, that what did Jesus do? He picked one of his disciples from that particular group of people. So you see, Jesus tried to show us, even through his life, that we cannot live with prejudice. You know, the philosophy of prejudice is, we believe that cultures and traditions are sacred rather than flawed by human weakness. Our traditions, our cultures, We can't change them. We just think they're wonderful. But yet, you know, Confucius, do you know what he said? He said, women or children are hard to deal with. And in all of Confucius' in all of his thinking, in all philosophy, in all of his philosophy, he put the men up, the men, the first son. He built the man up, but he looked down on women. So what happened? Culturally, the Chinese took that in. I'm not talking about today, but I'm talking about through the centuries, they took that in, and it became a way of life to them. And the woman had very little value, besides she stayed at home and so forth, but she had very little value as well as in the society. So when we say, oh, it's my culture, it's my tradition, but you have to remember that cultures and traditions are made by flawed human beings. They're not perfect. They don't understand everything. So sometimes when you say, well, that's my culture, as a Christian, don't allow your culture to take away that within your heart that makes you a child of God, that love, that sympathy, that care. Sometimes we in projection, you may without realize it, excuse me, you may without realize it attribute your own ideas or feelings to other people. We project it. And you know how many times we project it? It's because somebody in that race or in that group or in that people have offended us. Hitler, as you read about him and see what he has done, he had a tremendous prejudice, not just against the Jews. The only ones he thought were worthy to really conquer the world were blonde-headed, blue-eyed, I don't know if you would call them Anglians, but anyhow, blonde-headed, blue-eyed white people. He even had places that he birthed this. He had children born to certain ones because this was the master race. And you see that prejudice and the prejudice he had against Jews. And with that prejudice, look what he did to the world. He brought Europe and parts of Asia down, the western part of Asia, brought them down to chaos and ruin because of a prejudice. It's sometimes a need for security. Maybe he feared the others. I don't know. But sometimes with us, we need, you know, I believe the hardest ones that had problems with black people were the poor white. Because they couldn't, they just had to bring the black below them. Now let me tell you something about Haiti. I spent a year and 8 months in Haiti. In Haiti, everybody's got a servant. Everyone. I don't care how poor you are, somebody else is going to sell their daughter to you that she can be a servant. So there always has to be somebody lower than you. So you see, this is a sense of sometimes you need that security because they didn't have security. They had very little significance in Haiti, but they had to get their significance by lowering people down. And I believe this has happened in many countries and in many people. We project to them an inferior person, an inferior way of life. You know, if you're not careful, you'll think, well, I tell you another thing. I talk a lot about myself because I'm the only one I know. But in India, they eat with their hands. I have a friend that's an Indian. Now, that is so hard for me to even think of. Chopsticks, I can do them pretty good. My fork and spoon, but to eat it with your hands, oh. I really had to say, you know, Schwartz, behave yourself now. There's nothing wrong with that. But I was always glad when my friend asked me to eat with them that I had something else to do. Is that a shame? Is that a prejudice? I don't know if it's a prejudice or not, but I had to get over that one too. Because we think of that, I think of that as being inferior. Now the Chinese think of us as being inferior because we go down for our soup. When the Chinese drinks their soup, no one goes, only a dog goes down to their food. Isn't that right? You don't know that one. I learned that when I was there in China, you know? So some of the Taiwanese girls would tell me these things. But what I'm saying is that prejudice many times in our lives has to be, the Lord has to help us over when we begin to think that something is more inferior than us. We have to recognize that. And like I said, many times our prejudice against a group or against a people, it's because one person has done something to us. And then we get very upset with the whole group and become very prejudiced. That happens. Now, I remember, as I told you, I went through this thing with the black and whites. And I have to tell you, God took that prejudice out of my heart. The black people are my dearest friends. I've stayed with them. I eat with them. I've helped with their children. But during that time, when we had to, like I said, go to school together and some of the other things we had to do together, I went to a black college. Now, the Lord spoke to me about it. Now, I was pastoring on the eastern shore of Maryland. And I had a trailer I lived in next to the church. And I came in because I knew I had to go on to get another degree. And I was thinking about it. And then I walked into the house, and there was a newspaper. And there was a white boy saying, who else will come to Coppin State College? You know, he's the only white one. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you. Me? Yes, you. Okay, Lord. It didn't really bother me. I tell you the truth, it bothered my family. It bothered others, but it didn't bother me. And while I was there, those people treated me so wonderful. We had a good time together. And I found out, as I have lived with people, and you begin to understand this, then you can overcome it because they're not inferior. But we can stereotype certain people, certain classes, even certain sicknesses. You know, when a child is born, maybe with Down syndrome, you don't know how to deal with it. People don't like to have them around. They drool. They just, you know, many things that they might not like to have them around. They're so inferior. I taught them for, I think it was 2 years, I'm not sure, a year or two. I learned to love them. I learned that each one had their own personality. Each one had their own little abilities that they could do. And you know, that has really been a blessing to my life, to realize no matter who it is, many of them have abilities. Many of them can do things. Until we as Christians, as God wants us to see, that there is no group or nothing that you and I should stereotype that they're a certain way. And when we do, like myself, when we do, we have to ask God to straighten us out. The wrong belief, the fact is the wrong belief is some of us are created better than others is the wrong belief. It's natural for me to feel superior because we're a better group. We're a better person. But you see, that's the wrong idea. Because God didn't show any favoritisms. He set down the law of life. He set down the law of bringing children into the world. He has a beautiful genetic system in every one of us that connects us. He has a ways of different. Well, our bodies is just marvelous. The chemical reactions, the nervous reactions, the organs, all of this is just phenomenal. And yet sometimes they go wrong, don't they? Sometimes one gene gets out of the way and then you have a Down syndrome child. And sometimes it's something else, and the child can't walk, or they tremble, or they have all kinds of drooling and sicknesses that many times people stand back and sort of feel they're inferior. I don't want anything to do with them. But you see, this is a wrong belief, because God put them there. We're not here to judge. We're here to love. We're here to be able to go beyond this until you and I can begin to work with them, care about them. I have a friend of mine, I forget what it was, one of these diseases where they tremble and their muscles go bad, and it's really hard on the child, and they're usually in a wheelchair. I have a friend of mine that spent years working with them, loved them. You see, we have to understand that God made us, all of us. He didn't make anything special. He just made man. Man has made his own self special. But we're not. So we need to help people. We need to help people who are that are victims of this prejudice. Right now, they're having a lot of trouble in schools with bullies. At least that's what you hear, read about. Boys or girls that bully the others, you know. And then I'll hear of someone who will stand up for that child that's being bullied. Go out and play when they don't want to play with someone that others don't want to play with. And I think there's a child that God is going to help to be a real person with character that can go out and on the playing field and play with someone that the rest laughs at. You see, and this is what we need to instill into our children. What we want to instill in our children is character. And what we need to instill in our children is that no one, child, no one is better or less than anyone else. And that they may not look like us, they may not act like us, they may seem like there's something wrong, but you and I have to realize that God made all of us the same. Until your child is able to be able to defend them, to work with them, to care about them. This is one of the things that I feel as parents that we need to push, not teaching prejudice, but somehow averting your child from that feeling and helping them to see man as he is. Okay, we'll soon be done. We're all early today, aren't we? We have to promote our biblical theology to prevent prejudice. In the church, too many times, it wasn't prevented. It was perpetuated. But the Bible tells us that we are just infinite people, just like everyone else, taking away any pretense of infallibility. We are not infallible. We are like everyone else. I'm fallen. I was a fallen person. I may not have been a drunkard, but I had my other fallen traits. So I have to remember that I was fallen. I allow for those that are fallen. I've told you before how in Antigua that there was a town drunk. His brother was a town bishop, but he was a town drunk. Reggie would come in every once in a while and talk to me. He was drinking. Pretty good. And a lot of times I think he wanted me to give him something. I have a very soft heart, sorry to say. Lots of times I won't do it. But to Reggie, I just couldn't say no. Because Reggie at one time had been the poet laureate of Antigua. He had written the poem for the Queen's Elizabeth's coronation. But he had fallen. But how could I be to him, though he was fallen? I had to treat him with respect. I treated him with respect. Sometimes I would give him something to get something to eat. We have to learn this. I'm fallen, they're fallen, but I must learn to treat everyone. We must realize that everyone has their value. Sin has brought people down. sin that many times they could help, but they didn't. But now we have to recognize they still have value. I have seen people who were very down, who you wouldn't have expected anything out of them, and God recreate them into a wonderful person. They had been sinners. They had done terrible things, drunkards and dope addicts and all that type of thing. And when they came to Jesus, he cleared it all away, and their lives became different. See, we all have value. It may be covered up, but the value is there. We know that God and his character wanted love. In his love, he said that's the greatest force in the universe. When Dorothy said today that Jesus came to fulfill the law, his fulfilling of the law was to teach us how to keep it. And that fulfilling was love. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from them. If you love someone, you're not going to take their wife. If you love God and as we do as a child of God, you're not going to take his name in vain. You're not going to do that, because love is the energy that gives us the power to live the law. So therefore, it is love which is the most powerful force in the universe. And then his grace. I was given grace. So we see that this is really what happens. Now, we have to pull up those roots of prejudice. Pray for the Holy Spirit to convict the hearts of you or your family or your loved ones or friends that are prejudiced. Now, here we are. We're on this side. God has helped us. We feel that prejudice has no place in the heart of a child of God. We have no place for that attitude in our lives. So now what am I going to do? I'm going to pray for those that have it. I'm going to ask God to begin to work in their lives. And he has ways of working in our lives. This week I wrote on Facebook, and I was very sincere. I said, you know, sometimes you wonder where God is. Sometimes you can't feel him. You just don't know what's going on. But I thank God that I have lived long enough and gotten old enough that now I can look back in my life, and I began to this last week before, and I begin to see how God walked with me, how he always gave someone there to strengthen me and stand beside me and to help me, and how he always... It was just marvelous as I saw this happen, but God turned it to this. And I thought, oh, what a marvelous thing. You may not see the power of God every day in your life, but when you're his child, he is leading you. You just follow on. And as you look back, you'll begin to see some of the things that God has done. So pray for your people. Prepare to challenge prejudice wherever it is. There's a guy out there, he's sort of mentally not too good, just sort of funny. His clothes are not very good. You really wouldn't want him for your best friend. And you like to sort of bi-step him. But you know, just a smile, maybe a pat on the shoulder, maybe just a good morning. This can raise the hearts of people, giving them a little dignity. So actually, this is the way we need to do some things to help them, to help those around us, and to help them see that we have the love of God, not prejudice in our heart, but we're going to try to help. Another thing we can do is that we can correct false generalities about people. No, that's not right. That's not the way they are. We can begin to do a little taking up for some of them. We can put out some factual information about them. We can begin to talk to people on a conversation level and not emotional level. Now, I've lived long enough to know this thing about prejudice is very, very real. As Christians, we have to first get it out of our lives, and then we have to be examples to help others, because that's what the kingdom's going to be like. There's not going to be any prejudice in the kingdom. No one's going to be greater than the other or care about it. So you and I want to prepare ourselves for the kingdom. So I trust this morning. Does anyone have any questions? Sure. Depressed him. Okay. A little hard for you to understand, huh? But you have to understand that God has other attributes, which means other essence, other that makes him up. One of them is justice. One of them means is the fact that when someone does something wrong, they will be judged for it. Now, in the Old Testament, the judgment usually came through wars. It usually was, they would have, different ones would come. Actually, it happened to Israel back in, when they finally were put out of their country. Different countries came against them, and God allowed it because it was their punishment for how they had been with God, you know? So actually, in the Old Testament, you'll have a lot of judgment from God. And this was his way then. But today, that's why we have to say, you have to understand the concept of God at that time in waiting for the fulfillment of Jesus. There had to be something else that would keep people in line. You know, we can't say that God loves everyone and pats them on the back. He still doesn't love as far as when we do wrong, but he loves man. In essence, you know. So actually, we have to realize that it's in the New Testament that now he's saying, "Let you show love. You show love. We may have to die for it, but you show love." And he's not sending, you know, we would like to see God send down, like on Hitler. We would have loved to have seen God in 1941 or 42, 41 maybe, sit down and just pour judgment on Hitler. But he didn't, you know. And so he has, at this time, he has a different, what shall I say, approach to mankind than he did in the other dispensation. His dispensation of justice, that type of thing. Does anyone else have any comment for him? Brother Brown? Black? I had gray, brown, and black. That's right. You know, I think maybe this isn't a very good example, but it's a little bit. We as a parent love our children, but we punish them. Why? Because we want them to see that's wrong and there's a better way to do it, you know? No, we're not against them. We love them, you know? But we have to do that so that they can learn what is right and what is good and what is best, you know? So we may have to punish them for them to understand it. But if they would understand the first time we say it, wouldn't that be wonderful? If they would understand it the first time we say it, we wouldn't punish them, would we? No. You know, that we would just be very thankful I've got a child like this, you know. You might put them up on the paper or something. But I think this is sort of the same idea, brother. I believe so. Is anyone, you, brother? Egypt.
They don't have hard faith. Yes, God punished Egypt for that part. Mm-hmm. And then Joseph was blessed by the Pharaoh. And Abraham was blessed by Pharaoh, corrected his half life.
Yes. Yes. God's judgment and His anger and those things are against those that are against him, that won't listen. He said, even nature itself will teach you that there's a God. Romans says that. Paul said that. And so any hatred or, and I don't like to use that word, but God said he hates some things. But anything like that, it's because... Oh, yes, he did. He punished the Jews very severely. When you go back, when you get into that 800, is it 800 BC? No, wait a minute. I forget now. And about 800 or 700, when Judah fell, when Israel fell, all of it, he said a good portion of our prophets are during that time. Isaiah, Jeremiah, who wept. Ezekiel, who went through some crazy things to try to tell them. He tried in every way he could to bring those Jewish people back. They wouldn't. And so he had to just take them away. And they didn't come back again really as a country until 1948, 49. So we have to understand that God has, he is more than love. He's just. He's all-caring, but he has other attributes, too, that he has to issue. He cannot look on sin. I often think about when Jesus was on the cross, and he had, he cried out, my God, what have you forsaken me? I personally feel like that was because God couldn't look on sin, and the sins of the world were being placed on Jesus, and Jesus could feel that void, that terrible thing that when God left, you know. So God has his punishments. He has his wonderful love. He's very long-suffering. His mercy. Why, if you and I were running this world as God, we would have got rid of people long ago and started a new group. And when they didn't do good, I would have got rid of them. And done, you know, we've been constantly, but God's not been that way. He's long-suffering. I'm glad he's not like us.
One more comment about Chinese the practice, the prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
I think in China, not the tribal people that we have, that because we don't encounter with
you don't.
Tribal people, minority that often, but we do have a city and the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
Those two groups, I think that's more prejudice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Place, like they call them some name that and other people think if somebody from the more developed area must be Arab, it's both ways.
Yeah.
They easily think,
that's right.
People must look
that's right.
Without even encountering the person.
If you want to see it very good, go to a restaurant. You have those that have a certain uniform on, and they're the ones that come and get the dishes, takes it off. Then you have another one that has another uniform that's the one that brings the food. Then you have that girl or fellow with the big uniform that he's over all of them. And you can see the difference in their demeanor, the way they act, the way they are, just by that. And I'll tell you the truth, this has been one of my pet peeves. When I went to China, they invited me out to eat. And you know how you go into, and many times you'll go into a room all by yourselves, and a group of you there and eat together. And when I saw how they treated those waitresses, if we treated them like that here in the United States, they'd throw the food in our face. that'd been it. And it just hurt me, particularly back some years ago. Maybe it's better today, I don't know. But back some, it just hurt me. So I'm falling over myself trying to be nice to these girls as I'm going out, and speak to them. And I try to tip them, but you can't tip them. They won't, they don't want, not supposed to take it and so forth. But I notice that there is more of a class prejudice maybe in China than you have of a race prejudice, Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Greater than Moses' time. And so the judgment came on after God.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, there were many others around. Thank you, brother. Yes, dear. Well, this is, you can't hardly disobey when you don't know. That's right. That's right. You see, that's right. That's why God didn't destroy all of them, because all of them were serving pagan gods. You see, he didn't destroy them, but now he had something to do with them, and there had to disobey or obey God. Before, they didn't have to. Moses is standing there and saying, God of heavens, the one God. And Pharaoh's saying, no, we have our gods, you know? So, yes. So now in the enlightenment that there is one God, Pharaoh then said no. You know, he believed in his. So you're right. I really feel that actually, when you don't know that you're worshiping other gods because that's your God, then when you come to the light of the other God, that's when you are responsible, you know? Now, all of us may have some differences in these things. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So. Get confused. Yeah. You see, Jesus is the. No. Yes, but it seems like in the Word of God